What?
Yeah, old school.
You are standing today, all of you, in front of Hashem. Roshechem, Shivtechem, Ziknechem, Vishaytrechem. The heads of your Shvatim, your elders, your enforcers, Kol Ish Yisrael, every man in Klal Yisrael. Tapchem, your children, the Sheikhem, your wives. The Gerach Asher Beker Machanecha, the Gerim amongst you, Mechoite Veitzecha, from your wood choppers, Ad Shoye Meimecha, to the water, the ones that draw the water. Why? La'obrucha Bevris Hashem Alekecha Uva Olasai. To pass you through the Bris of Hashem, and in his Shvua, Asher Hashem Alekecha Kharizim Chahayek. Rashi says, this teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu brought them in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day that he was Nifter to bring them into a bris. And the Ramban is Ma'isiv. Korasi Mohem Bris Kibris HaRishayna Shekorasi Tom Bahar Sinai. He made a new bris with them, a new treaty, similar to the one that he did at Har Sinai. Over there he was Makar V'Karban Oila, and half of the dam he was Zayrik on the Mizbeach, and half of the dam he was Zayrik on the nation. So this was sort of like a repeat, similar to what he did at Har Sinai. The question is, if they already had a bris at Har Sinai, so what was the purpose of making a new bris now? Yeah, bris is a bris, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to make a new bris now? So there's various pshatim. Rashi himself says a couple of pshatim, and we'll see other pshatim. Rashi says, on the Pasuk L'man Hakim Ha'ischa, Rashi says, why is he making another bris? Why is Hashem going through the tircha of making another bris? It's for one purpose and one purpose only. To keep you as a nation, to let you survive. And he will be to you for Hashem. Why? Because Yossi spoke to you, and Yossi spoke to the Avos HaKadoshim, that he's never going to exchange their children for any other nation. Memele, he's making an added bris, and he's making an added shvua to impress upon you that you shouldn't get him angry. He's not able to switch you with another nation, Memele, but you have to do your part. Don't get him angry, and don't test Hashem, so that he might have to switch you for another nation. So if either Chat and Rashi, the purpose of this new bris was to keep Klal Yisrael as Hashem's nation, to impress upon them their responsibility. If they want Hashem to keep them as a nation, then they have their responsibility. A second shot that Rashi says, because Hayyosh Klal Yisrael was passing from one leader to the next, and there is a tendency when you switch leaders, there's a little bit of turbulence, there's a little bit of a lack of stability. Memelo, when they were switching from one leader to another, they needed another Krisis Bris. This is what Rashi says in the second shot. One might add to this shot that there was a major difference between the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu and the leadership of Yehoshua. Chazal tell us, Pnei Moshe kipnei hachama. The face of Moshe was like the face of the sun, the source of light. Pnei Yehoshua kipnei halavana. The face of Yehoshua was like the face of the moon. So there was a major difference in Madrega between these leaders. So there was a shash, there was a worry that perhaps now that they're going over to a different leader, maybe there'll be a hisrashul, there'll be a weakening in the commitment that Klal Yisrael has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there was a need for a new bris. But it's more than just that. The Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, and when Yehoshua was the leader, there were two different Hanhagas. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a Hanhaga of Neis. Everything was Bederach Neis. Everything was L'mayla Manateva. You had the Ananiya Kovid, you had the Be'er Shal Miriam, you had the Mon. Everything in the Midbar was Bederach Neis. Now that they were calling Teretz Yisrael, with Yehoshua, there would be more of a Hanhaga of Teva. Yes, there would be Nisim. But the major relationship, the basic relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael would be in an open of Teva, where the Yad Hashem would not be so recognizable, it wouldn't be so nicker. Therefore, they needed a new Krisis Bris, a new treaty to enforce the bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So far we have two pshatim. Either because Hashem wants to impress upon us that he can't change us for a different nation, so he wants to make more shvuas and more chiyuvim, the Torah shvuah is to keep that bond. Number two, because they were switching leaders. The Kli Yochar says a different shot over here. The Kli Yochar asks the same question. What was the purpose of making a new bris now if they already had a bris at Har Sinai? He's up to Kli Yochar that the first bris that they had at Har Sinai, it got spoiled because of the Chayta Ega. There was a chayt, memela, there was a weakening in that bris, and there was a weakening in the trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for Klal Yisrael. There was one thing lacking in that bris, and that was the chiyuv of Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Bazeh, that everyone is responsible for his friend. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made the bris over again, he added this ingredient of Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Bazeh. And when everybody looks out for the other, it's easier to keep the bris because each one is mechazik each other. So what was nitosif, what was added with this bris, is the inyan of Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Bazeh. And as the Kli Yochar explains, when someone is a guarantor on a loan, Reuven needs to borrow money from Shimon, and Shimon says, I'm not going to lend you the money unless you get Levi as a guarantor. Levi has money, he'll be the underwriter of the chayv. Levi shines on the chayv, and he sees that Reuven is squandering his money, and he wastes his money, he's not spending it wisely. So he says, Shaita Shavailam. He says, I'm responsible for you. If you're not going to be able to spend the money wisely, and you're not going to be able to get the money back, I'm going to end up having to pay for that chayv. So Levi will make sure that Reuven, who is mechayev himself, he spends the money wisely and he gets the money in a responsible way. That's the same thing with Klal Yisrael. Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Bazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made each one responsible for the other. And if we see somebody doing an avla, we're really the ones that are suffering. Memela, we're going to look out for the enemy and make sure for states that it has to be done in a derech eretz, the good way, it has to be done in a nice manner to have the full effect. Oh, but with Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Bazeh, if we are guarantors, that means if we don't live up to that responsibility, so we end up suffering. And the Kli Yochar says there are times that the Gedolim, the Manhige Hador, they get punished because of the sins of the lesser people in the Dor. Because of this Arabas, because of this Kol Yisrael Arabas Ebezeh, they are responsible to be Mechiach, the nation, and the Mele, in case the nation does not do what they're supposed to, they get punished. Rabbi Saul Salanter, it was Yodua. Now, what motivated him to start the Musar movement? Of course, he had it in his mind for a long time. But there was a Maisa Shahoya, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, that caused him to actually be proactive in starting the movement. What happened? In the city where he lived, there was a shoemaker, a poor shoemaker, that struck it rich. Could be he won a lottery, all of a sudden, overnight, he became wealthy. And there was a place where the rich people used to make their chasanas, a special hall. There was another place where the poor people used to make their chasanas. So, of course, now that he had the money, he was making a chasana, marrying off his daughter, he made the chasana in the beautiful hall. So some of the old rich guys, you know, they didn't like it. You know, who's this new guy to come in? You know, who does he think he is? He became rich overnight, and he's making a chasana in this hall. So in the middle of the chasana, one of the fellows went over to him and took off his shoe, and he says, you think you could fix this shoe for me? He was a shoemaker. You know, so he wanted to show him, you're still a shoemaker in my eye. You think, you know, what does it take to fix this shoe? The fellow felt terrible. When Rabbi Saul Salanter heard about the mice, he said that a fellow could sink so low that at a person's simcha, he has to make him feel bad. Oh, you're still a shoemaker. So he said, a sharfalosh. He said, the gedolim that are sitting in Gan Eden, they're going to have to give a din v'cheshem. They're going to be teveh then bedin. Because had they enforced the inyan of limud ha-musar, where people work on their midas, and they uproot their jealousies and their petty feelings against others, then such a maaseh never would have happened. And that was the thing that motivated them to start spreading the inyan of musar, that people have to work on their midas. But ad kidei kach, Rabbi Saul Salanter said, that tzaddikim that are sitting in Gan Eden will have to give a din v'cheshbon for this fellow down here that made the shoemaker feel bad. This is the Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Bazeh. This was nitosif. This was added. And we'll see in a minute, Kli Yochar says an added nekuda. It's not just an added thing on this inyan of Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh Bazeh. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was the Rav in Poznan. And he once met one of the other Gedolei Hador, Rav Moshe of Kubrin, who was a tremendous guy. He was also a Chassidish Rebbe. So they were schmoozing. Shukivei says, he says, the people of Kubrin are all Yerei Shamayim and Mamish, they all, they're Zohar B'mitzvahs. He says, by me and Posen, there's a lot of people that are very not careful the way they should be. So Moshe B'Kubrin said a Sharif apart. He says, Posen borders Germany. There's a lot of people from Germany. The Germans are very proper people, you know, full of etiquette and everything. If somebody does something wrong, they're not going to tell them anything. You know, they're too polite. He said, in Kabrin, the people are not that polite. If they see a guy doing it out there, they give it to him over the head. Memela, there is that Kol Yisrael Arayim Zebazeh that, you know, they're mechiach each other. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechadosh over here with the Kol Yisrael Arayim Zebazeh. A person lives in a community and he does something wrong and other people see it. You know, they'll give it to him. And a person is embarrassed to do something wrong because he knows that he's going to have to answer to the other members of his community. Now, why does the Torah over here go by Arichus? It says, Atem mitzav mayankulchem, levnei Hashem alikechem, rosheichem, shuteichem, zikneichem, shekreichem, kolish Yisrael, tapchem the sheichem, gerach Hashem b'sharecha, etc., etc. Like, why was it necessary to specify every single segment of Klal Yisrael? Just say, Atem mitzav mayankulchem, levnei Hashem alikechem, kulchem and eilen, who's everybody? Why was it necessary to specify every single class in Klal Yisrael? So the Kliyokar, based on what he just said, that the chiddush of this bris was Kol Yisrael Arayim Zebazeh, he said, this is telling us the order of the chain of command. Whoever's higher up in Yichus is responsible for the fellow below him. So he said, Rosheichem, Shifteichem, the heads of Yishvotim, the Zikneichem, Shaitreichem. Every person has to know that he's not up there in covet just for the sake of gaining the covet. He's up there in covet to be able to help out the fellows underneath him, to be mechiach them, and to bring them on the proper madrega. This is why the Torah specified each and every one of them. The Netziv says a different shot. The Netziv says that the reason why the Torah specified every single one, and this is very much negiah to Rosh Hashanah, Atem nitzodom hayim kulchem lufnei Hashem alikechem. You're all standing in front of Hashem. And you're all standing to be judged in front of Hashem. Not everybody in Klal Yisrael is judged the same way. Not all men are created equal. For example, when it comes to Hilchas Tzedakah, there's no way in the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge the poorer man or the middle class fellow the way he would judge a rich fellow. Right, the fellow that has the wherewithal to be able to give more tzedakah, he's going to be judged on a different level than will be the fellow that doesn't have as much money. When it comes to learning as well, the fellow that has more time to learn, there'll be more of a tefiyah on him. Why didn't you utilize your time for learning? But you're not going to have the same din on someone that's working hard and doesn't have the same amount of time to learn. Same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives different kishrayimus, the different levels of brain cells to different people. The fellow that has a better capability, there's going to be more of a tefiyah on him. So therefore, it says, Rasheichem, Shifteichem, Zikneichem, Shaitreichem. There's a separate mishpat for each and every person. Not every single person is judged in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu equally. The Torah goes on to say, Hanistorois l'Hashem Elokeinu. What's hidden, that belongs to Hashem. V'hanigloys, that which is revealed, lonu l'vaneinu ad oylam. That's for us and our children forever. Last race is called Divrei HaTorah HaZeis. What does the Torah want with this? Rashi says, if you're going to tell me we're responsible for our friends, now what happens if our friend has something in his heart? He thinks evil thoughts, he's plotting evil things. We don't know what's going on inside of him. So if you're going to hold us responsible, because if this cloud of Kol Yisrael or Ravens ever said, you know, how are we going to escape punishment? But not a Kodesh Baruch is that you don't have to worry about it. What's hidden, that's my business. I know what's hidden. I know what's in a person's heart. What you're responsible for is behind Niklois, Lonu Vanenu, Ad Oilam Lashes Nivetaris. You're responsible for the Aveiris that are done out in the open. The Chasam Sofer says a beautiful pshat over here. Chasam Sofer says that we know that we're in Golis, and we don't see the Yad Hashem the way they were able to see it in the olden days. In the Midbar, they were able to see the Yad Hashem out in the open Mamas Kesedah. Even in the times of Yeshua, when they lived in Eretz Yisrael, you were able to see, you know, the Yad Hashem. Times of the Beis HaMikdash, you were able to see the Yad Hashem. We're living in Golis. We don't see Nisim. And we don't see the Yad Hashem. But the emesis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Keseder being Mashgiach on us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Keseder making Nisan. It says in the Pasuk, Lo'oise Nefloiz Gedoilois Levadoi. He makes tremendous Nefloiz, Taishnach San Sefer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly making Nisan for us. Over Levadoi, he's the only one that knows about those Nisan. Now that we're living in the time of Hester Panim, it's not the Pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forsaken us, Legamri. It's just we're not able to see the Nisan. He still makes those nefloys gedolos levadai, but only he himself is aware of it. We're not able to see it. So the Chasam Sofer, that's the pshat in the pasuk over here. Hanistaris, the hidden nisim that are made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Lashem Elokeinu. Only he knows about that. You know what Vahanigvois is? You know what's revealed to us that we are able to see? How is it possible that Klal Yisrael was able to survive throughout all of these generations, throughout all of the persecutions, throughout all of the Goliaths, throughout all of the Tsarists? The Romans have fallen, the Greeks have fallen, the greatest powers have fallen, Spain, Nazi Germany, and Klal Yisrael lives on, and we continue to flourish, and we spread the Torah, and there's more and more people learning Torah every day. That is the biggest nace. Sahan is stories. The hidden nace, and that's why Hashem Elokeinu. But you know what's revealed to us? You know what the nigleis are? Lonu uvanenu lasis chodivri atayra hazayis. The fact that we and our children are able to continue, and Klal Yisrael lives on, and they're keeping the Torah, betayv this bitter gullus, that's the nace which is nigle to us, that we're still able to see, ad hayem hazeh. When the Pasuk speaks about the tzoris, that will befall Klal Yisrael. It says, "V'chora api boy ayemahu ba'azaptim v'hiskarti ponay mehem. I will hide my face from them. Vohil lechav u'mitzuhu arayish rabbis b'tzores. And many tzores are going to happen for the people that are chayte. V'omar ba'ayemahu. Person in Klal Yisrael will say." I can see. You know why these bad things have happened? Because Hashem is not with me. He's not with me anymore. What's going to happen when he says that? I will hide my face on that day. He's turned to other gods. I mean, the fellow was admitting over here that the reason why this is happening because Hashem is no longer with him. That's what I'm showing you, though. That's a tremendous acknowledgement that when Hashem was with me, I was protected. And he says, that is why these bad things are happening. So the Chayr, it's a kind of a vidui. So why in the world does the Torah say, when he says that, I'm going to hide my face from him. So Ramban asks this question, and the Ramban says that, yes, there was an acknowledgement over here, but it was a mitzvah's vidui. He didn't really make a complete vidui. He said, yeah, Hashem is not with me. But he didn't say openly, I did this and this wrong. And he didn't say openly, okay, I'm going to stop doing what I was doing, and from now on, I'm a kabbal on myself to be different. It was only a partial haidah. So therefore, it's not going to be as bad as before. Because before he was talking, having tzoras, open tzoras with sicknesses and all kinds of tzoras from the Goyim, it's not going to be as bad as before, because he did acknowledge that Hashem had left them. However, there's still going to be a hester upon him. The tzoras won't be there, but the gula is not going to come either. HaKadosh Baruch was still going to hide himself. When I saw this Ramban, I was thinking to myself that to a certain degree, we are living in such a matzav today. You know, Baruch Hashem, here in America, you know, it's the greatest country in the history, the greatest Goyish country, the greatest goal is to live in the history of Klal Yisrael. We're free to serve Hashem. There's so much opportunity here to be able to learn and to dominate, to serve Hashem freely. Midul Kisa is a tremendous Hester Panim. So the Tsaris are not here. They're not present right now. But Lamaisa was still living in a Hester Panim. That's the kind of a situation that fellow is going to face himself. Hitaka was made to a certain degree. But Lamaisa, it wasn't the Hayidah Gemura, and he didn't take action. Chofetz Chaim Taki speaks it out in the favor show. Chofetz Chaim says that just acknowledging that you did something wrong is not good enough. You have to acknowledge you did something wrong, and at the same time, you have to make sure, okay, from now on, I'm not going to do it. Marshallah Mahadar Adayna. A fellow was sitting on a train, and he hops himself in the middle. Hey, what am I doing? This train is going in the wrong direction. You know, what am I doing? So he sits there and he continues to say, oh yeah, I'm going in the wrong direction. I am going in the wrong direction. Meanwhile, the train stops and he doesn't get off. He's sitting in the same train. It's not going to do him much good sitting there and saying, I'm in the wrong direction, if he doesn't get off and go in a different direction. That's what is done to a fellow that says a vidui, but he doesn't say that, okay, from now on I'm going to be different. It's like the fellow that's on the train going in the wrong direction. Yes, 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 I feel bad, but I'm not doing anything about it. This is what was wrong over here. This is what the Ramban says, and this is the Chafetz Chaim is meisiv. What he was lacking was the Kabbalah ala osid and uprooting himself from his present matzav. The Rebbe Rabbeinu of Pshischa, he says differently. He says, you know what was wrong over here? If a person could use such a lashon, haliki ein elakai bekirbi mazoni haroiza eila. You know what happened to me? It's because Hashem is no longer with me. To use such a lashon, Hashem is no longer with me, that in itself is a posel and achshav. Even when we're chayting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Ani Hashem, Hashoich Nimon B'Soyv Tumaisam. Even when they're tummy, and even when they do have babies, does a father leave his son? A father doesn't leave his son. He might hide himself. He might not show the open ahava that he does, like when the son is doing what he's supposed to be doing. But parents never leave their children. So if a person could say such a lashon, that in itself is a terrible amla. And for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if that's the way you feel, then I'm tacky going to hide myself even more. There's a beautiful quote from the Baal Shem. Baal Shem says, "V'anoichi haster aster espanai b'yayimahu." I'll take a hide my face, but v'anoichi, the anoichi will still be there. I'll take a hide myself, but the anoichi is not going to be removed. B'teich the hester panim, b'teich the hiddenness, b'teich the clouds over anoichi. I am still there for you. I'm just going to hide myself better. But that a person could say such a lashon, "Ein elokai mekir mi, Hashem is not with me." There's no such thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. He manages to hide himself lefi the madrega that we live on, lefi our relationship with him. The pasuk in Parshas Vayelech says, "Va'ato kisru lachem es hashira hazois." Right after it says, "Va'anoichi haster aster esponim bayemahu," it says, "Va'ato kisru lachem es hashira hazois." Write for yourself this shira. So question exactly what that pasuk is going on. Is it going on Shiras HaAzinu? Some people say it's going on the mitzvah to write and say the Torah, which is the last mitzvah in the Tariyat mitzvahs. Chofetz Chaim says a Moyudiki thing. So what are we going to do then? How do we survive then? To live in Teicha Hester Pana, where we don't know where we're going. We're going in total darkness. How in the world are we supposed to survive? Says, you want to be able to survive in the darkness, write for yourself that sacred Torah, be Isaac in the Torah. The Torah is the word of Hashem. Torah lights up the way. Marami Prak says on the Pasuk, Kiner mitzvah, the Torah mitzvah is like a candle and Torah is like a big fire. Let's say you walk in the pitch black and you have a candle in front of you. So you're able to see your immediate surroundings, but you're not able to see the whole area. A mitzvah has a koyach like that. A mitzvah has a koyach to light up the immediate area, but it doesn't give you a bright view of what's up ahead. Kiner mitzvah, up of the Torah. Torah has the koyach of or of a big fire. When you learn Torah, that lights up the whole horizon for you, that you don't only see Arum and Arum, you don't only see the immediate area, but you're able to see far away also. Zokta Chofetz Chaim, that is the medicine, that is the potion, if you find yourself in a matziv of Hester Pan. I once saw one of the svarim, I forgot already whom. It says, "Va'ator kisvu lochem es hashira hazois." There's a Gemara in Masechtas Megillah that says the following. The pasuk says that when Yeshua was fighting a battle for Klal Yisrael, "Vayhi bi yosh Yeshua bi yirichay, vayisha einav," he lifted his eyes, "vayar, vihine ish oimed lenegdai, v'char v'shlufa biyadai." He sees a malach standing with his sword was outstretched. And he tells him, yesterday you mavakal the tamid shalbein arabaya. Yesterday by the evening you didn't bring the carbon tamid. And now you mavakal Torah. And he wanted to kill Yeshua. He came to bring calamity to Klal Yisrael. So Yeshua said, Al Ezim Ahem Basi, which is the Ikr Tviyah against us? So he says, Akhtar Basi. I came on now. I came about the Bittul Torah. Shenemar Va'atah, Kisru Lachem Asashir Azayis. The Torah is called Atah. Torah is called now. Stop, it's a Chiddush Nifla. Chiddush Nifla, that Klal Yisrael is in the middle of waging a war, of conquering Eretz Yisrael, and a Mal could come and be Teveya, pick a Torah. Like, what are you doing? You totally forgot about your learning? You forgot about your Seder Alimut? Middle of a war? The Aval Pi came, there was a tefillah on them. Why didn't they have the regular Seder for Limud HaTorah? Okay, but that's a side thing. But what is the pshat that the Torah is called Va'atah? Now. Atah Basi, I came on now. Va'atah Kisvu Lechem Asashir HaZais. I once heard the pshat. There were many different movements in the history of the world. There were many different nations with many different ideologies. You had the Roman way of living, the Roman culture, and the Greek philosophies. And throughout the generations, you had isms, you had communism, you had Zionism, you had all kinds of isms. They've all fallen by the wayside. They're all things of the past. At the time, the people that were within the in crowd are saying, oy, you're old-fashioned. Communism is the new way. And this is the new way. This ism and that ism. And Lamaisi, you see, they've all fallen by the wayside. And what's the only thing that lives on? The thing of now. Torah is for all generations. Torah is Lamaylam and Hazmat. Torah is for now. That's why the Torah says, Va'atah Kisru Lachem Asashir HaZais. No matter what generation you're in, Torah is the thing that's most with the times. You think that right now it's materialism? That's the thing of the times. There'll come a time when people see that that was also Dvarim B'Teilim. The same way they saw that communism and Zionism, communism and Shagasim are all things of the past. When originally they were the things of now. Torah is the only thing that lives on. Torah is the only thing that lives from generation to generation. A good job, everybody. What? Right. Thursday night. I don't know, somebody speaking here Thursday night before Yom Kippur?
I'll see. I think the trap is the knowledge that he didn't warn Yeshua about Amka. It's not one but Inak. I think that was
Yad Vashon.
Somebody says it. The Amka is all the beginning Yeshiva, I remember.
It's a pal. Time of war. Look at Tyra. War is war, but mice, you gotta keep it.
It's not a hell if you understand that which nation goes to war with the strongest people or with the
Right.
I mean, the fact that he cut off the thumbs and the.
Wow! It's unbelievable. I've never seen this before. We were just learning the daf before, and it's in the daf.
The epitome of what I just said. Every base man, every shul, every. Five ways to avoid trouble.
Oh, I put the one way. Priceless reproof.
As a matter of fact, his all-time great poem is called Hamasmit.
Right.
Really? It's amazing.
amazing poem. They say that he based it on his view of the Barber. Barber was the bottom of that thing. So anyway, he wanted to meet Barber once. So Barber was hesitant when he met with him. He tells Barber, he says, "Oh, the history of Plowing Straw. You based it when Abaya died, no one rubbed it by. We'll learn together every day. I should know when they die, when they're very much alive with me." So I told Bossy,
it's a creation of the world. It's right. Your excitement, the for me, is an indication that we're going to have life blown in because God is going to have life.
Some of the years in the summer, I was in the time machine.
Yeah, who do you want to see?
Who do I want to see?
Yes.
And to me, plenty of people I can't even imagine.
What was his effect at the time? I mean, was the good
negligible? I mean, I shouldn't say negligible.
He was a good old guy, but
but people, after he took off. So of course, he's a father, there's no question about it. But when I said got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Hashem magnifies the godless. The godless is such an interesting thing. It's Gamil Dal, right? It's nurturing that which is small. So the whole idea of Jewish greatness is the complete opposite of the rest of the world. Does he make some. Larry Bird, I think they asked Larry, who's better, you or Magic? And he gave an answer.
He spoke to Larry Bird?
No, well, I knew him a little bit. But
you did?
Yeah, it's a whole original anyway. But they asked him, who's better, you or Magic?
Yeah.
A great answer. Magic. Why? Stop being modest. He makes his team that's greater to a greater extent than I do. So therefore, he's better. Isn't that an amazing comment? Because he saw that. Because his goal was not only to score, but to make people better. And that's what Judaism is. That's godless by definition, is making someone better. Right? Anyway,
I said something about the Hashem of Shmi and Yeshiva.
Three boys and seven girls.
Amazing thing. It boggled my mind. Shaul Salanter has said, did not give a letter of approbation for a couple of times. He was the inspiration for the public language.